and cast the spell, keeping a close eye on where the spike was intended to appear. Thud! The spike slammed into the tree, vanishing an instant later. Joe cast the spell again, getting a bit closer. Thud! It was really strange to watch this process. The shadow of the tree bunched up and rose from the ground, while the remainder of the shadow... brightened wasn't the correct word. There was no extra light, but perhaps the colors in the area were easier to see? They penetrated the gloom under the tree as though the color saturation was higher, the hue more vivid than it should be. The effect only lasted a fraction of a second, so it was hard to study. Joe started to cast the spell again, but this time tried to keep an active connection of mana to the spike. Nope. Again. Didn't work. The third time, though, the spike seemed to last just a tiny bit longer. Joe tried one more time, and the spike shot off the ground and stayed impaled in the tree. Mana was flowing out of him, but the drain didn't affect him too much since he had such a high regeneration rate. In the corner of his vision, a notification was blinking at him, so he focused on it even though the spike vanished as his attention wavered. Skill gained. Channeling. Novice 1. Spray and pray. Fire and forget. Not this mage. At 75% spell cost per second, you can maintain a connection to a spell that would otherwise use up the mana allotted to it, increasing its effect over time. Minus 2% cost and plus 1% spell damage per second per skill level. Joe marveled at the potential this skill offered. If he maintained his shadow spike for 10 seconds, it would gain an extra 2 points of damage. Or was it 1% of the current total? That would mean that after 10 seconds, it would do 52 points of damage. Not great when he was hiding his class, true, but... this was exactly what he needed in order to boost his mana manipulation and coalescence. Holding Shadow Spike active would burn through 15 mana per second. Even with his mana regen, he could only hold the spell for roughly 40 seconds before he was tapped out. Would holding the spell for that whole time cause the damage to be 800 per second? Or would that add 4 damage to the spike right now? He had to test this. What about even at the beginner level? Channeling would either add 1 damage per second or 10 per second. He didn't have the mental skills to add up the possible damage at the higher levels, but this was certainly an ability he would be working on. Finding a fresh fox to attack, he channeled his spell into it. His math had been really wrong. Joe had for some reason seen 1% or 0.1 as 10%. It was 1%. It was fine. The results were good even if he would have been failing basic math right now. He just couldn't kill a dragon over 10 seconds as his dreams had foretold. It seemed that the damage accrued as the current total, and after checking the combat logs, he was again happy with the new skill. The first second did 20 damage, then 20.2, all the way to his current maximum of 29.5. Altogether, this single spell did 977 damage at full power. Now all he needed to do was figure out how to make a live enemy hold still for 40 seconds as it took damage. Too excited to spend more time grinding foxes for minor bits of experience, he started walking back to town. Though his class ability of dark vision meant that his sight wasn't inhibited, it was just evening and the shadows were thickening. So he didn't think Tiona would mind too much. Distracting himself from the boring travel, he looked at how much experience he had gained. He had killed 32 foxes, netting himself 256 experience. Not bad at all. As the gates came into sight, Joe screeched to a halt and quickly set his class back to cleric. Whew, that was close. He almost...
Joe!
A guard called out to him, startling him enough that he almost dove to the ground to avoid an assumed attack.
Joe, got a job for ya. Captain wanted me to let you know that we have a couple people in the slammer. Cut each other up real good, but if they die, their families will start a blood feud. Head on over if you want to help prevent a civil war.
He sent a wink at Joe, implying that he was exaggerating a little bit.
Will do, thanks. Anything you gents need before I head on in?
Joe smiled at the guards, always on the lookout for reputation gains.
Sure,
the guard standing on the other side of the gate called.
I hear you are good at fixing up people who, celebrated a bit too much before duty?
Joe looked at the guard, and under his helmet, he could see the poor guy squinting and sweating. Joe snorted, then cast Cleanse on the hungover protector of the people. Just as he was about to call it good, a flash of inspiration caught Joe, and he attempted to channel more mana into the spell. Was it only good for mage spells? It worked. A stream of water connected the two men, rushing from Joe's hand into the veins of the startled guard. The spell cut itself off after a short while, much to Joe's surprise. The guard seemed to stare into the distance for a moment, then broke into a happy grin.
I've never seen this buff before. It allows me to have 10% gain on strength and dexterity-related skills for the next 2 hours.
What?
The other guard yelped.
I want it too. What is the buff called?
Looks like... Well Hydrated.
The first guard had looked at his status to read the name off.
I feel really good.
Can I have it too?
The second guard implored Joe.
Sure thing, but then I need to go heal those guys in jail.
Joe channeled water into him, then hurried to the jail. He was excited that he could now force people to have the proper amount of water in them. What his drill sergeant wouldn't have given for this ability.
Joe!
Joe turned as he saw the captain approaching him across the training grounds.
I need you to heal.
Lead the way. I heard they're in a bad way.
Joe called back, not slowing his pace. The captain nodded, easily matching Joe's jogging speed, which anyone else would have called a casual stroll. Joe's stamina was dropping swiftly, but he wasn't at the point of puking just yet.
This is a bad situation, Joe,
the captain explained seriously as he opened the door to one of the cells.
These two are from noble houses, and if they have killed each other, we will likely have a civil war on our hands.
He was serious?
Joe muttered in shock as he remembered the cheeky wink the guard had sent his way.
He still made me hydrate him?
The captain pulled open the door.
Heal this one first, and we will move to the other right after.
There was a young man on the substandard bed, laying in a slowly growing pool of blood. Joe hurriedly moved over and cast Lay on Hands, channeling the spell so that he didn't need to wait 3 seconds between casting it again. Joe had no idea how much health this man had, and was surprised when he wasn't at full health in 8 seconds. By channeling, he had already restored 330 health, but the man's wounds were still gruesome. At 250 mana already spent, Joe was concerned that he may not be able to heal the other person at this rate. As the last wounds finally closed, Joe got a notification that mana manipulation had increased to Novice 3. His distraction made him miss the moment when the man's eyes snapped open and a glowing fist sent Joe into the stone wall. Joe was stunned as the man roared and charged him, and 2 swift punches later, Joe got a series of messages that made him groan in frustration.
-30 health, empowered strike. -15 health, impact damage. -20 health, basic attack. Undying robes, passive effect activated. Health set to 1. -20 health, basic attack. You have died. 800 experience lost. Time till respawn. 8 hours. Maybe don't hang out with violent prisoners.
That was a huge loss of experience. Joe found himself back in the virtual reality loading room, and with a sigh, he decided that it would at least be a good chance to check in with his mom. Making lemonade out of lemons and whatnot.
Chapter 20. Spending the remainder of his time doing research on the components for rituals he could use, Joe was unsurprised to gain a notification as he respawned.
Ritual magic has reached beginner zero. Congratulations on finally understanding the most rudimentary concepts of rituals. You are now able to substitute components with others without the ritual automatically failing. Make sure you choose what to replace carefully. Based on your usage of rituals to this point, you are able to use excessively expensive components 10% more efficiently. So the respawn room counted for abilities like this, huh? What did this notification mean by excessively expensive materials? Joe looked at his character sheet, spitting to the side when he noted that he now needed about 3,600 experience to reach the next level. He had been gone for 16 hours in-game, so he walked back toward the jail in the pre-dawn darkness. He hoped against hope that he would still be able to save the other person in the jail, but seeing the grievous wounds of the first, it was unlikely. Arriving at the jail, he was waved inside, but the captain walked over, shaking his head.
"Too late to save the other. I'm so sorry about this. I had no idea the prince would wake up swinging like that. I should have taken more care, had a couple guards in there with you. This shouldn't have happened."
The captain seemed to be a defeated man. Black circles were slowly growing under his eyes, and it was obvious that he hadn't slept at all since the last time Joe had seen him.
"By the abyss, do I hate being the cause for casualties in good men."
"It isn't your fault, Captain. I should have been on guard. He got that way because of a fight, yeah?" Joe instantly tried to calm the man. "So that was the prince."
"Did I say that?" The captain's eyes bulged. "You didn't hear that from me or my men, got that? Say nothing at all about the Baron dying."
He winced again and slapped a hand over his mouth.
"Sure, sure," Joe placated him cautiously. "I guess... nothing else for me to do here?" "No, not now. I'm sorry it turned out this way, but I'll make sure you get some reparations from the royal family. You did save a prince, and he killed you for your troubles. That, and knowing what you know, and since they can't keep you dead..."
"Got it. Thanks, Cappy. I won't be able to sit around and wait for gifts that may not be coming, but let me know if you need anything else." Joe tried out a new nickname, and getting no negative feedback, decided to keep using it.
"After that travesty, you are still willing to help us?"
The captain's head dipped down, and he let out a deep breath.
"On behalf of my men, I thank you again. We will be more dutiful in the future."
Reputation gained, plus 1,000 with human gods. New reputation rank gained. You are now considered an ally of human gods. New opportunities become available to you in the future, and gods will often look the other way if you need them to. Abusing this may have negative consequences. Guild reputation gained, plus 500 with human gods. New opportunities have opened for your guild. Joe nodded at the captain and walked back to his guild. He walked into the barracks and was met with crying and sobs of pain. His eyes widened as he took in the seriously wounded people laying on the floor and tables.
"What in the world happened in here?"
Tara was the only person he could see that was on her feet. She walked over, a thunderous expression on her face.
"Where the hell have you been?"
she hissed at him.
"I got killed by a person I was healing. They woke up and slaughtered me," Joe informed her, already healing the worst cases he could see.
Almost all of the people were missing chunks of flesh, mainly fingers, hands, or feet. Their body parts were next to them, and his healing spell allowed him to reattach the tissue and nerves without issue, though the bones would need to heal naturally. He shuddered in remembrance of his own loss of limbs, and was happy all over again that he could heal these people.
"What happened?"
"Monsters,"
Tara grimly informed him.
"They were some kind of leech-looking thing. They slithered in or were already here. We don't know. For some reason, they couldn't get very high off the ground, but they tore off anything that dangled off a bed. No one even noticed at first because they seemed to inject some kind of a painkiller. Then a couple members started to bleed to death, and since Tiona's an officer, she noticed in the guild members' tab that they were dying.
The monster under the bed is real here? Joe shook his head. That's disgusting.
It's called a tenebris. Made for good experience since they don't move very fast. They are mainly just effective against unaware people.
Tiona's voice preceded her as she stomped into the room.
I saw that you died. Care to explain?
I really can't, beyond telling you that a prisoner woke up after being healed and killed me. I was completing the ongoing quest with the guards. Got a ton of reputation for the guild, too, Joe told her. Wisdom plus two. The notification made him sweat. Obviously, he had just done something the system considered very wise. How badly could that have gone for him? Tiona grunted at his explanation, noting the lack of details for a private conversation later. Give me a few minutes, and I'll be able to finish up here. Healing so many people in rapid succession brought him a level in lay on hands, but not heal. There seemed to be some sort of block there that he wasn't approaching correctly. He was very interested to notice that using lay on hands brought experience to the main skill, and remembered that the notification when he first got the variant had told him it would do so. He supposed that could be true for many different skills where the skill variation was a branch of the main. Maybe smithing had specific subskills for things like weapons or armor. It would make sense that leveling those would level the main skill while making the variation more potent for the specialized skill. Master Smiths usually focused only on either weapons or armor, right? Some even on just one or two types of weapon. Joe shrugged off these thoughts as he finished healing the last person in the room. They had waited very patiently, and he thanked the man before noticing that he had simply logged off while waiting. He snorted. Must be nice to ignore pain and come back ready to play. What's the plan for the day, Tiona? Joe asked as he washed blood off of his hands and robe.
The others are at work. Monday in the real world. You know how it is.
Tiona shrugged and stretched. Obviously, she hadn't slept much.
Just go do whatever you need to get done. They'll be back tomorrow from our perspective. Late afternoon for them.
Works for me. Joe had plenty that he wanted to get done. Joe? A tentative voice called warily from the front room. There's a royal guard outside looking for a Joe. Any Joe in here? A bit confused, but assuming he knew why the man was here, Joe walked to the door and met the most intimidating man he had ever had the displeasure of meeting. He was bald, near 6.5 feet tall, and had a series of scars on nearly every bit of exposed skin. His stare bore into Joe from a point 2 feet higher than the cleric's perspective, and it seemed that the man was judging every aspect of Joe's being. Releasing a grunt, the man reached into a spatial ring, pulled out a package, and tossed it at Joe. After ensuring that Joe had the package in hand, the man turned on his heel and marched away at a speed Joe couldn't sprint at. There was nothing special about the box that he could see, but he still decided against opening it in the street. Shrugging off the curious looks from his guildmates, Joe went to the small room he was assigned, closing and locking the door before prying open the unassuming box. He was glad he had taken the precautions. A bright light shone throughout the room, and Joe had to look away, blinking. He squinted his eyes and touched the item within.
Flawed Greater Core found. Would you like to convert this into experience points? Current worth. 5,000 experience points. Yes or no?
Joe's mouth dropped open, and he could do nothing for a long moment but stare at the light coming from the palm-sized stone. The emitted radiance forced him to look away as his eyes teared up, but after a moment he was able to start thinking again. Should he use it? Or should he save it? He could be at the next level now, or maybe he could find a better use for it. Joe considered his options, but as much as he wanted to save the core, he knew that he would start getting the real benefits of his class at level 5. If this was a gift, he knew it wasn't unique. There would be other cores out there. He grinned as he pressed the yes button. Golden light flooded out of him as the stone vanished, and he was jerked into the air as his level increased. Feeling a rush of energy, Joe landed softly on his feet with a joyful smile. Already, there were people knocking on the door, shouting questions at him. They had felt the relaxing shockwave of a level increasing and wanted to see if there was something to fight in the room. He pushed the door open, a surprisingly difficult feat with so many people crowded into the area, and tried to explain the situation by saying that he had simply finished off a quest and it had given him enough experience to level up. A few people pressed the issue, but he refused to say much more, telling them that one of the requirements of the quest was that he couldn't discuss it. Since this was a surprisingly common theme in quests, all they could do was grumble and meander away. Joe sat down on his bed with a happy grin covering his face. He looked at his character sheet and noted with glee that his profession was now unlocked. Focusing on that section, he brought up a small selection of the professions he already had available to him.
You may choose one profession at the 5th level and another at level 10. It is recommended that you choose a gathering profession first to gain the materials needed for the next profession you choose. Not all possible professions are shown here, only those you currently qualify for. Seek out a teacher or meet the requirements in order to unlock more options. Occultist. A seeker of the greatest truths, often scorned for their belief in what others believe to be conspiracies and fantastical tales. Ironically, many have spent their lives seeking out the knowledge that the occultist can readily access. For others of lesser professions, the terrible truth has sometimes been too much to bear. The occultist has no such qualms when it comes to knowledge. Nothing is forbidden, nothing is too horrific to turn them from their path. For better or for worse, the occultist will seek even a grain of truth in any matter which intrigues them. Profession benefits at first level. Can attain quests from non-quest-related books if there is truth hidden in the text. Lies and truth are visually discernible when in written form. Gains skills from scholar profession unless true profession is discovered. Profession title appears to be scholar. Scholar. Devoting their lives to understanding the mysteries of the world, scholars apply the scientific method to all things. Often the very best at their field of study, the scholar is an asset to anyone seeking to become stronger. Though considered weak by others, scholars have been known to defend themselves in ways that none can explain, and in their sanctuaries, the prospect of fighting them borders on suicidal. Profession benefits at first level. Increases speed of reading and writing by 50%. Ability to add lore skill to any skill that could benefit from the area of study. For example, a scholar who studies metallurgy could add their lore skill to the creation of a weapon, increasing the quality of the item. Actor. This is the job for any who act in a way that is not true to their reality. While it does not offer many combat-related options, it is a profession used to great effect by bards, dancers, spies, assassins, thieves, and politicians. Profession benefits at first level. Increased reputation gain with non-aligned factions. Grants the disguise and persuasion skills. Can hide alignment 75% more effectively. Tracker. Steadily moving and searching for their target, trackers use their high perception of the world to great effect. Hunters, trappers, bounty hunters, and investigators rarely lose their quarry, and this job offers them the best starting benefits of any option. Profession benefits at first level. Grants the skill tunnel vision, which allows the tracker to see anything in the area that relates to their target 80% more effectively. Trackers move through rough terrain 50% easier than others. Herbalist. The study of botany and use of plants intended for medicinal purposes or for supplementing a diet. The herbalist can find rare and powerful ingredients needed by chefs, alchemists, and apothecaries. Whether to poison or heal, the herbalist can acquire the needed materials. Profession benefits at first level. Plants you harvest are 50% more potent for 7 days. All useful herbs have a faint pillar of light above them. Can be toggled on, off. Joe was surprised at how many jobs he had available. He had thought that he would only have access to a cultist. Some of the others were tempting, but he had been waiting to unlock his job since he started the game. For him, this was an easy choice. The fact that he was able to hijack the scholar's skills was just an added bonus. He selected the occultist job and accepted it. Joe waited for anything to feel different, but nothing happened. Checking his status sheet, he confirmed that he did indeed have the occultist profession. Joe felt a little let down. He thought that he would feel stronger, smarter maybe. Regardless, this did change his original plans for the day. To the library. Joe walked toward the repository of knowledge, feeling light and free. He was an occultist now. As he walked into the library, he was humming and received a glare from Boris. Then Boris saw Joe's level and a flash of hope crossed his face. When he saw that Joe's profession was set as scholar, he released a strangled shout of joy.
You did it! The first new scholar in nearly a decade! My boy, thank you! Our profession was dying, losing out to the mages for their direct power. Let me be the first to welcome you to the scholarly pursuits.
Experience held back from completing Footsteps Through History 1 has been awarded. Plus 500 profession experience.
Oh, that's right. You already earned these. Use them well.
Boris handed over a small pair of spectacles, beaming all the while. Spectacles of the Scholar. These half-moon lenses allow you to read for long periods of time without straining your eyes. They also help you to notice wear and tear in books and chase down anyone who damages a book's binding by setting it down on the ground upside down to hold their place. You'll be a librarian yet. Minus 25% eye strain from focusing on small details, plus 10% vision-specific perception. Interesting. Joe had never seen an item that only enhanced one of his senses at a time. Usually a perception bonus was applied uniformly, but he had to admit he'd rather not feel 10% more pain. So the spectacles were very welcome.
Thank you. Is there anything else I can do in here, Boris? Any quests or texts I should read?
Boris scratched his chin.
Nope. Not really. I don't know what you don't know, after all. You do have access to the first floor uncommon section now, but I'm sorry to say that your job level needs to be higher before you can go to a floor with rare books.
Thanks. Oh, before I forget, how do I get the lore skill?
Joe had half turned before asking this, but his attention had now returned to the librarian.
Lore? Boris chuckled fondly. Oh, it has been so long since I've needed to explain this skill. All you need to do is read up on a topic, think through how you can apply it to any given situation, and then do so. That'll unlock the skill. To forewarn you, lore is one of the few skills I know of that cannot have skill points added to it. Not to mention, you have to level each lore skill individually. You can't just apply a study of one facet of creation to another without both being at high lore ranks. Study water? You get a lore skill. Fire? Another lore skill. Try to combine them into a steam lore. Better have aerodynamics as a lore skill as well. You need to do actual learning. Which is why people avoid that skill like the plague outside of our hallowed ranks.
So lore isn't about history? It's a fancy way to say science?
Joe watched Boris's eyes get wide, and he looked around swiftly.
Basically, but don't go calling yourself a scientist, Boris whispered, forcing Joe to lean toward him. you will get left right out of the city or right into a jail cell. Scholars are scientists, founded by the First Order of Scientists in ancient times. Back when science was almost useless due to magic being able to bend the natural laws to the breaking point. Now, with less people around able to use magic, and magic becoming so specialized, well, we are coming into favor again. With the nobility, at least. The common man, they tend to discredit science any chance they get, and the Mage's College isn't helping.
I'm not sure I understand. Joe withered under the glare sent his way. But I'll just take your advice and get to work then. Thanks again.
Joe stepped into the stack of books, smiling as he saw a tome go flying through the air, only to settle gently in its correct spot. Even just looking at the covers around him made him smile. Thanks to his new abilities, all of the books were glowing. Chapter 21 Joe pulled the brightest, shiniest book he could find from a shelf, excited to see what was inside of it. To his horror, it was a book on simple mathematics. So the glow was not about how important the book was? Joe flipped through the book until he noticed a single dark spot. It took him a moment to realize the significance of the dark spot, but by adding up the numbers, he found that the provided answer was incorrect. So, he was able to see at a glance how accurate the information contained in a book was? It made sense that a math book was almost perfectly true. Even if you could craft a spell to crack a world in half, 1 + 1 = 2. With a sigh, Joe put the book down and ignored it as it flew away. What would be the best use of his time, then? If he wanted to get and level the lore skill, he should focus on the books that were shining with correct information. There were a surprising amount of books that were dim, outnumbering the books filled with truth by 3 to 1 at least. So, if he wanted to find magical artifacts, quests, and ways to get more powerful, his eyes jumped toward the fiction section. Myths, fairy tales, books others thought were just fun reads. Joe wandered over and began pulling likely books from the shelves, stacking them on the nearby table. He was glad that there was a note-taking interface in his character screen. Paper was fairly expensive to purchase in small amounts. He typed away at a keyboard which only he could see. Any onlooker would have found it very strange to see, since it seemed he was just wiggling his fingers in midair while flipping the pages of the book in front of him a few times. The data he could find was disjointed. There were nuggets of truth in these fictional books, but they didn't relate to each other in any real way. Before he could get frustrated after the 5th book, he found something interesting. This book had also reiterated some information that had been in the 2nd book, and together they started to form a slightly clearer picture. He kept going, able to ignore large portions of the text as he continued to write down only the true parts. Grouping all of these chunks together was similar to creating a jigsaw puzzle, and he found out more about his skill as he tried to piece the words together. When he put the information in an incorrect order, the words would dim. Placing them in the correct order would make them grow a bit brighter. He spent an hour trying to put a quest together with what he found, but his mind began to wander eventually. There simply wasn't enough information here. After a short break, he began parsing a few books about people who had used rituals in the past. Unsurprisingly, he started to ascertain that most of the contents were false. With a jolt, he remembered his own book of rituals and pulled out the upsettingly dark volume. Before he could continue going through other books for truth, Joe felt that he had no choice but to revamp his own grimoire. He opened to the page he had bookmarked and winced as he saw the ritual. The words were so dim as to be almost black, and he was unsure why. This ritual was the Little Sister's cleaning service, and he knew it worked correctly. Then why? Boris's words came back to him then.
This is an exaggerated primer on rituals, designed to show how inefficient, wasteful, and useless they are.
Of course. The ritual would work, but Joe was likely using much more than he needed to in terms of mana and components. With a sigh, Joe stood and left the library. He went over to the nearby shops and placed a large gold piece on the counter as he bought a sheaf of paper. Joe grumbled a bit at the cost. A full gold had only garnered him 100 pages of blank paper. Next, he bought ink, quills, and finally a cup of coffee before returning to the library. Boris gave him the stink eye when he saw the coffee and made him drink it all before he was allowed near the precious books. Joe sat down again with a sigh, placing a single piece of paper on the table in front of him. The trader had explained all the uses of the items he had bought and had thrown in some drying sand and a quill sharpener for him since he had purchased such high-valued items in bulk. Joe dipped his quill into the ink and began writing text as small as he could without letting the ink run together. Deciding to start with the Predator's Territory ritual, he changed the values of the needed mana, components, and core. As soon as all the information was together on the page, he compared the now glowing information with his book. Several of the items were glowing brighter. Some were certainly dimmer. The question was, were the dim values dim because they were not needed, had too small a value for the material, or were the wrong component entirely? He looked over the list of requirements: red pepper, wolfsbane, mint, crushed amethyst, pure salt, iron shavings, orange kyanite, 3 ounces of mercury, and silver wire. 900 mana investment and an optional healing potion. Finally, blood and a core. Looking at it like this, it almost seemed like a recipe. Realistically, a recipe is exactly what it was and how he decided to treat it. Looking at his notes, he eliminated all the items that he thought had nothing to do with protection. Now the list only consisted of crushed amethyst, pure salt, iron shavings, orange kyanite, and silver wire. After writing that down, along with the symbol for the ritual, the information turned black. Obviously, this ritual would do nothing good if it was tried. He looked for more information on the other materials and found that mint was used to ward off rodents. Mercury was a symbol of change, and wolfsbane was a poisonous flower. He added these back in, and the information began to glow again. It took over an hour of replacing items, substituting in new material, and adjusting amounts before he got a recipe that glowed fairly brightly. It had taken 6 full pages of paper, and his hands shook with rage when he read the final formula.
Ritual. Predator's Territory. 80% maximum improvement. Uses. Wards against creatures, beasts, and monsters 10 levels above the genetic material used in the ritual. Caution. The inherent bloodlust generated by this ritual draws in any creature above the 10-level threshold. Components needed. 1 half-ounce dried wolfsbane, 1 ounce mint, 1/4 ounce crushed amethyst, 1 ounce pure salt, 5 grams of pure iron shavings, 1/4 ounce orange kyanite, 3 ounces of mercury, 1/10 of an ounce silver wire per square foot of space, and 1 drop of blood. 100 experience from a low-grade core and 400-point mana investment required. Lasts 8 hours. Joe had to physically sit down and breathe deeply to keep from screaming like a furious pterodactyl. He had wasted hundreds of experience points, mana, and coins on materials because someone had written this primer on rituals to discourage people from using rituals. He looked at the 6 pages of paper he had used to create this new formula and felt that paper was suddenly not a terrible investment after all. Skill gained. Ritual Lore. Novice 9. Your study of rituals combined with your occultist profession has allowed you to greatly enhance a ritual that you found. Since you are already a beginner in ritual magic, this starts at a higher level than normal. Make a study of more and more powerful rituals to increase this skill. Effect. Variable. Allows you to fine-tune rituals that you find or create. Can increase potency of rituals and or decrease costs of rituals. Skill increased. Ritual magic. Beginner 2. Huh. That may be the shortest skill increase message he has seen thus far.
Joe was glad to see that he had gained a lore skill, and he was always happy to see his ritual magic skill increasing. He flipped to the next page in his grimoire and groaned. It was going to be a long day of adjusting rituals at this pace. When Joe wearily stumbled out of the library, he was exceedingly grumpy. It was already twilight, and his fingers were cramping from the constant writing. He was hungry, had ink all over his hands, but the saving grace of the day was the fact that he had changed at least half of the rituals in the grimoire to be usable. Sure, they were only the simplest rituals, but it was a start. He had also found that a few of the rituals were entirely bogus and were designed as traps to kill off anyone foolish enough to attempt them. He had found out that ritual magic was actually created by the symbols used, specifically the shape bounding it like the double circle for predator's territory. If the components weren't properly in place, it would make the ritual spin out of control and place a mana debt on the person they could not hope to pay. Joe had received a taste of this with the ritual around the guild's barracks, but these symbols were on another level. A much higher level. Death was the most likely outcome from working outside of his capabilities. He had also found that the ritual would use all of the materials you intended for it to use, which explained why it would eat an entire core, even if it only needed one-fifth of it. Dang greedy magic. Might as well call it Dykstra magic instead of ritual magic. Joe chuckled at the tiny programming joke he had made. It was funny to think of programming while in a world created by a supercomputer. Kinda like the opposite of metaprogramming. He shivered, and tried to move past that thought spiral. This was his real world now. As he crossed over the red chalk circle around the guild, he stopped himself and shrugged. No reason not to activate it. The ritual had just become cost-effective. The chalk seemed to glow brighter for a moment before a timer appeared in his vision. 7 hours and 59 minutes remaining. Plenty of time to sleep. Joe went to the dining area and gorged himself on the stew that seemed perpetually available, told Aten that the ritual was active, and collapsed into bed. Long day. One dreamless sleep later, Joe popped out of bed with a smile on his face. The ritual had given everyone who slept here last night the well-rested bonus, and Joe was feeling it as total relaxation. Everyone he passed was chipper, and this was before the coffee was ready. Joe smiled as Aten sat down across from him.
"Morning, boss man. How did you sleep?"
"Better than I ever have since losing my 1,000-thread-count Egyptian cotton sheets." Aten sniffed the aroma of fresh coffee wafting from the pot moving toward them. "That because of your spell last night?"
"Yeah, you can add in a health potion to get a well-rested bonus."
Joe poured his coffee slowly, letting the potent smell wash over his face.
"Does the potency of the potion matter? We have some apprentice alchemists that I'm sure would be willing to donate to the cause."
Aten snatched the coffee pot from Joe the second his hand was off the handle.
"I'm not sure,"
Joe thought about it, nodding as he thought it over. "Most likely it'll just increase how long the bonus lasts. If that means I can feel this relaxed for half the day, though, I'll take it."
"Now, we did have a rotating guard last night, but weren't attacked or even looked at by the monsters that were running around out there. I'm real happy you had the forethought to activate your spell thingy last night. The city was attacked by... I think they were mutated bats? Nasty buggers. Sharp claws and a sonic attack."
Aten shuddered a bit at the thought.
"I'm liking the thought of having your spell going pretty often, but the cost is just too..." Joe waved his hand to cut off the flow of words.
He finished his gulp of black ambrosia and let out a contented sigh.
"Good stuff. The spell, it's called a ritual, actually. Well, I made a huge breakthrough yesterday. Turns out that I can refine the recipe of the spell a lot. I'm now able to get the spell cost down to, not quite cheap per se, but manageable. It went from a little over 30 gold to create to..." Doing a bit of mental math, Joe looked over the formula he had created.
If the base ritual cost 100 experience from a core, for him it dropped to 50 experience, just over 3 gold per 8 hours. Now it costs about a tenth of what it did. Turns out that whoever made the spellbook was intentionally trying to destroy anyone using them.
3 gold.
Aten rubbed his stubble excitedly.
You say it so casually, but going from $300 per use to $30 is pretty huge. These work anywhere? We could use them for overnight expeditions?
Theoretically, but the big issue is creating a double ring of material to soak the magic into. I can't picture someone carrying around a huge sheet of paper or concrete with them.
Joe shrugged uncomfortably. This was one of the major issues he was having, making his magic transportable.
Does it matter what the rings are made of?
Aten thought for a moment after Joe shook his head.
Can we talk to a weaver or tailor? Could we get a double ring of string, then roll it up after it is ready?
Joe felt like his head was about to burst into flame as hundreds of ideas were considered.
Yes!
Cough! I mean, yeah, that might work. Know anyone?
Of course I do, Aten scoffed. I'll talk to them today, see if I can't get a few prototypes for you. Have a good day. I see Tiona coming this way.
Ha! I made a rhyme.
Aten wandered off, and Tiona slid into the recently vacated space.
Ready to go hunting, Mr. Level 5?
Tiona grinned at him mischievously.
Let's see if that level was earned or bought.
Joe was forced to eat quickly, Tiona's stare not very conducive to a relaxing meal. They ambled over to the gate, discussing the plans for the day while the other members of their team caught up to them. Joe was heatedly explaining why he couldn't just use Shadow Spike continuously to Tiona.
Look, it is a non-class skill. Right now it's only at Novice 2 and it sucks almost 100 mana per cast. I can use it 4 times before I'm wiped out.
You know, I hear mage is a fun class,
Tiona prodded him.
Why don't you go get a mage license and switch classes? You'd keep your healing skills, right?
No idea. Also, I'm not going to go drop 1,000 gold so that some random group is fine with me using my own spells,
Joe ground out. It turned out that the Mage's College would hunt down anyone using mage abilities if they weren't a certified mage. That way they were able to keep tabs on anyone growing in strength, or, as they called it, causing trouble. Joe was almost positive that it was simply a way to stay in power and in control. Anyone who came to their attention and didn't comply with their demands eventually gained the title Rogue Mage from them. Thankfully, it was not an actual title that was on your character sheet, but it was basically a bounty. Then that person tended to vanish, either from a natural accident or someone selling them to the college. Joe shook the dark thoughts from his head, trying to pay attention to his surroundings. They were almost to Fox territory now. Tiona was explaining some of her insights on leveling to the others.
Going from level 9 to level 10 is just stupid hard. It is apparently going to be awesome at my next level, though, because ranking up, specializing, whatever you want to call it, you know that euphoria from leveling? I was told it is that times 50.
But gaining any levels at all after that point is going to be really hard, right?
Guest spoke up, still a rarity in the group.
I mean, going from level 9 to 10 costs what, 14,000 exp?
Yup,
Tiona replied cheerfully.
And it just goes up from there. But your new class starts at level 1, so while your class is leveling up again, you are also gaining experience toward your overall level. Apparently it isn't uncommon to get to level 20 and get your 4th specialization at the same time. At least, that's what I've been able to learn from the trainers.
Seriously, I've never played a game where it is so hard to get levels,
Dylan grumbled rhetorically. Chad piped up.
Levels don't matter as much as skills anyway. What's the point in getting to level 10 and ranking up if you are stuck with a lame class because you didn't bother to get any skills?
The others either shrugged or nodded, Joe included.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see, right?
Tiona changed the topic.
Joe, Did you remember to get the Wolfman Hunting Daily Quest? You are level 5 now.
Joe froze in place, falling to the ground when Dylan stumbled into him with a curse.
No! Crap! My first chance to...
Relax, I'm messing with you.
Tiona giggled at his expression.
Here, I can share it with you.
Her eyes lost focus, and a moment later, Joe had a pop-up blocking his vision.
Quest alert. Hunting the hunters. Daily. The wolfmen population has been rising beyond any projections, and the human kingdom will be threatened by a horde of rampaging beasts if their population isn't brought under control. Hunt 10 wolfmen scouts, 5 wolfmen warriors, or 1 wolfmen shaman. Recommended level, 8. Accept, yes or no.
Joe accepted the quest and furrowed his brow as he thought about the meaning behind the prompt. So, if we are only hunting scouts every day, does that mean the population of warriors and mages is shooting higher and higher? His words nearly made the others stop walking as they saw what he meant. This game had a way of twisting words to have multiple interpretations. Tiona was the first to speak.
Well, shoot. Probably. I bet other groups are doing the same thing we are.
I'll mention it to the guards that give out this quest. They might want to break it up into 3 separate ones,
Dylan decided as they continued forward.
Doesn't matter today, though. We aren't going to go hunt down an unknown enemy the first day that you get to gain experience from a daily, Joe.
Joe nodded appreciatively, and the group quieted down a bit. They were getting near to wolf territory, and the large canines were known for ambushing unalert prey. Chapter 22.
Woof!
Dylan barked into Guess's ear, causing her, him, the group still hadn't found out Guess's real gender, to jump in apparent shock after a moment. Joe chuckled. Since Guess was playing with an outdated VR helmet and mental keyboard, she must have manually pressed the jump button. Good sense of humor there.
There is a group of wolves trying to sneak up on us, Chad warned the group as they strolled along. Joe, you want to take out the alpha, or should we fight them?
They had discovered that if the largest wolf in the pack was killed before the other wolves attacked, the animals would scatter and run away. Tiona thought it over before shaking her head.
We're in a hurry. Joe, take him.
Joe grinned and turned his head. Easily finding the crouching wolves, he concentrated and made the required hand motion. A spike of pure darkness thrust upward, catching the alpha in its flank. It howled in pain, and Joe took the time to channel the spell, needing to hold the spike in place for a full 3 seconds until the wolf collapsed. The other wolves ran off, just as planned.
Whew! That guy had a lot of health in him. Nearly drained my entire mana pool to finish him off.
Skill increase. Channeling has reached Novice 2. Mana manipulation has reached Novice 4.
Joe really preferred these succinct messages.
How long until you are back to full?
Tiona liked data. The more she knew about her party, the better she could plan out combat. Let me check, Joe muttered, opening his character screen.
Mana manipulation went up, so now I have 419 mana, but I just used 325 to channel that spell, so... About a minute? 50 seconds?
Too long for anything but an ambush.
Tiona looked around, scouring the underbrush for hidden foes.
Sure, there aren't other things attacking us right now, but in the future, if you run out of mana like that, we might get wrecked. Feel free to do that if we need you to, but remember that if we are going to have a longer battle, you have to make sure you conserve your mana. That means no channeling spells at the start of the fight. Let that be a finishing move if you really feel the urge.
Yes, ma'am.
Joe saluted her with mocking precision.
Poof. Dang straight. Good to see you finally know who's in charge.
Tiona winked at him, her analytical side softening as she remembered that this was supposed to be fun. The others chortled as they began moving again, and Joe's focus turned inward as he tried to squeeze his mana into a smaller container as it refilled. He hadn't made any real progress with his coalescence skill, but he wasn't overly surprised. After all, it was written right in the skill description that he needed a higher willpower to gain levels in the skill. Joe wasn't sure he believed that, though. Practice and determination had served him well through the years. He wasn't going to stop progressing because some skill description gave him arbitrary boundaries. His mana finished refilling without him gaining a rank in the skill. Joe crossed his arms and pouted a bit. The group had to carve a path through a small pack of wolves once or twice, but they finally reached Wolfman territory. Trying to be stealthy, they watched the first group they came across for a few moments. Their stealth failed them as one of the wolves on the fringe of the patrol suddenly snapped its head to face them and released a growl.
"Not overly surprising,"
Tiona lamented as she tightened the grip on her sword.
"Animals must have boosted perception. Unsurprisingly, this includes wolves. Chad, Joe, try to take out the scout. Joe, if we get injured, break off your attack and heal. Everyone else, get ready for battle."
3, 2, 1,
Chad called softly, letting loose his bowstring just as Joe finished his spell. A spike of shadow lanced into the scout's lower back, causing it to freeze as pain overwhelmed its senses. Before its reflexive paralysis faded, an arrow lodged itself in the wolfman's eye. Crumpling to the ground, the humanoid body quickly stilled. The basic wolves stumbled to a halt, looking back at their fallen leader, and scattered with high-pitched whines.
"The wolfman is considered the alpha, then?" Guess accurately inferred.
"Looks like it, thank goodness," Dylan let out a long sigh of relief. "I need some better armor. All I can think right now is, I'm so glad I didn't get bitten again. Not the best mentality for the guy planning on taking all the hits, you know?"
Howls in the distance heralded an unfortunate side effect of having allowed the other wolves to run off. A notification then blocked their views for a long moment.
"Area quest. Territory dispute. Wolfman scouts have found wolves without a pack and are converging on the location of the missing scout's patrol. Survive against their fury. Reward. Variable. 1 class-related item. Rounds survived. 0 out of 5.
"Territory dispute? As if!"
Tiona scowled at the notification blocking her view, as if trying to frighten it into changing its verbiage.
"This is a stupid survival quest like that rabbit swarm."
"Here they come," Dylan's voice wavered as he raised his shield. "This is gonna hurt, dang it. Stupid team needing a tank."
His voice trailed off into incoherent grumblings, but his stance reflected perfect defensive discipline. Guest looked around at the team members, who were getting into formation and putting their backs to a tree, and vanished into a nearby shadow. Tiona was about to give a few orders, looked around, and snorted,
"Rogues! Guess you better just be getting into position, or I'm going to cut you in half."
The first of the wolves exploded through the underbrush, only taking a moment to lock its eyes on the party before snarling and charging them. Before making it halfway, half a dozen more canines began hurtling into the open. Arrow after arrow launched from Chad's bow, finding new homes in fur and flesh. The first wolf died, but the others simply increased their pace. Chad continued attacking, but was knocked to the ground as a scout made its presence known by returning fire. Chad screamed as the barbed head of the arrow tore into his bicep, and he was forced to stop attacking as the arm went limp. Joe was the only member of the team with ranged attacks, and his hands quickly formed his only offensive spell. The shadow of the wolfman bunched up and slid into the scout soundlessly. The wolfman screamed in pain as it fell. It wasn't dead yet, but Joe needed to turn his focus to Chad. He gripped the arrow, knowing this part would suck. With a sharp pull, the arrow, a chunk of meat, and a spray of blood came from the fallen man. Chad shrieked as Joe grabbed the tender area, applying his healing spell as accurately as possible. In moments, skin was closing over newly grown tissue. Chad nodded with tears in his eyes, leapt to his feet, and began firing arrows once more. His attacks were much more carefully targeted now. Scouts were his main focus. Leaving the four-legged variety to his teammates, Chad put an arrow into any wolf standing on just 2 feet. Dylan was screaming in rage and pain as he waded through the wolves attempting to drag him to the ground.
"Not this time, you mangy beasts! I am going to
cut you!
He punctuated his sentences with slashes or bashes, using his shield as much as his sword. With his grumbling curses drawing the animal's attention, Tiona was able to deal maximum damage. Her sword flashed amongst the combatants,